Praise the Lord, everybody. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this first Sunday in October 2020. The Lord has been so good. He's brought us thus far in the year, and we are excited. Today is first Sunday, and we are here to remember Christ and to celebrate the sacrifice that he made for us. And we will remember him. And he said in his word that every time we do this in remembrance of him. So we've come to honor and remember Jesus on this first Sunday in October. The song that we're going to start with says that Jesus is real to me. So many other people doubt him, but I've discovered that I can't live without him. We used to sing a song that says, "You can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him." And so we know that Jesus is real. We know that the resurrection is real. We know that his life was real. And so today we want to honor him and remember him. Y'all ready?
Yes.
Here we go, everybody. Say real.
Real, real, real.
Jesus is real.
Jesus is real to me.
You might as well come on and clap your hands, everybody. Real.
Yeah.
It's because of him I live. It's because of him I move. And it's because of him that I am so many.
So many people.
Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but Jesus is real. He's real to me. He's real in my heart. He's real in my soul. And I don't care who doubts him. I've discovered that I can't live without him. My granny used to say it like this: he's become my all and all. I've learned how to lean on him. I've learned how to trust him. I've learned how to depend on him. And I can't imagine, Pastor, what my life would be like without him. I'd probably be somewhere out of my mind if the Lord wasn't real in my life. Yeah. We're gonna sing this next song. It talks about the blood of Jesus. And I wonder if there's a witness today that can testify that the blood still works. The blood has never lost its power. And I'm crazy enough to believe that the blood of Jesus will never lose its power. It was his blood, his shed blood, that caused us to be able to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there'd be no remission of sin. And so we ought to always remember Jesus. Always thank God for Jesus. Thank God that Jesus decided to give his life for ours. We were his enemies and he still died for us, still shed his blood for us. Because God decided to demonstrate his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died, the righteous for the unrighteous, the godly for the ungodly. And every chance we get, we ought to say thank God for the blood of Jesus, because his blood would never, ever lose its power.
And it dries. Never lose his power.
I'm so thankful that he never
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, right where you are, you ought to just thank God for the blood of Jesus today. Hallelujah. We're so glad that his blood still cleanses, it still washes, his blood still covers, and we are so thankful. Today I'm going to share scripture from the book of Mark, chapter 1, and I'm reading from the New International Version today. Start reading at verse number 35 through 39. The text says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you.' But Jesus replied, 'Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come.' So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." That's Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. Iresi is going to come and lead us in prayer this morning.
Good morning, church family. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for another day. Thank you for the day that you have made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, thank you for the blood that never loses its power, its healing power, delivering power, redemption power. Yes. You say in your word that you were bruised, you were wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and by your stripes we are healed, and we thank you for that, Lord. We can't thank you enough. Heavenly Father, thank you for still being in control no matter what is going on in this world, the social injustice, the pandemics. We all watched something that was kind of concerning on Tuesday, but no matter what leader that you appoint, you are still in control. Yes, and for that, we want to say thank you. We need to lift up our leaders. Let us not forget that your word tells us to lift up and to pray for our leaders, no matter who they are, because you are on the throne. You are sovereign, and you can appoint whomever you please. Yes. Let us not lose sight of your glory, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, as we prepare ourselves to hear a word from our pastor, we ask that you bless him. We ask that you remove all distractions from us. And we ask that you let us not have a deaf ear. Let us take something from today and go into the week with a strong, strong word in our hearts. Thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for all that you are going to do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ressi. God bless you. Again, we say to all of you, praise the Lord. We are excited. We're just excited about Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about my Christ, and I'm excited about all the many wonderful things that he's doing. Ed, I love First Sunday. I hate missing communion because I just love to remember Jesus, and I love to honor him for the sacrifice that he made. I say it all the time, we owed a debt we could not pay. Yes. And Jesus came and paid a debt that he did not owe. And so we thank him today. You all, just one real quick thing. Several months ago, we shared with the congregation that we were, several of us, our choir, myself and Pastor Roscoe and Patrick Preston and Chris Crane were nominated for awards at the Gulf Coast Gospel Music Awards. And you can see that today. It's going to be aired on TV, but on Fox, but we won't be able to see it here. But you can watch it online. You can go to Facebook Live and look up Gulf Coast Gospel Music Awards, or you can also go to their website, Gulf Coast Gospel Music Awards.com, and you'll be able to see it. It airs today at 3:30, from 3:30 to 5:30. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna dress up and watch it at home like I'm actually there. That's why I got this tuxedo on today, right, y'all, because today is the Gospel Music Awards. Yeah, so Yeah, so if you can, today, 3:30, Gulf Coast Gospel Music Awards.com from 3:30 to 5:30, and let's see who the winners are. And there are going to be some performances from some really great artists from across the country. Some of those artists who are participating have even been here to our church to sing, so we're excited about that. Okay, we're going to do this song. It says, I need you to survive. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. I won't harm you with the words from my mouth, yes. Not intentionally, 'cause I love you. And not only do I need you to survive, but I need you in order that I might survive.
Yes.
And so we need each other. No man is an island. And we're brothers. We're sisters. We have one Father and one God. And He loves us all. He's a loving Father. And we need each other, and we should stand with each other and support with each other. Carla, when you hurt, I ought to hurt, because we're family. And Resty, when you celebrate, I can celebrate, because we are
family.
Yes. Under one Father. And so, Pastor, can you help us sing this? You can just jump in wherever you want to. I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Here we go, everybody. Let's say it together. I need you.
You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me.
Agree with me.
Agree with me. We're all part of God's body.
Say it is His will.
It is His will
that
every need be supplied.
Time to really say, I need you.
I need you.
Yeah.
And you need me.
We're all
a part of God's body.
So stand with me.
Stand with me.
Agree.
And agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His. That every need be supplied. You are important to me.
I need
you to survive. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
Now this time I want everybody to sing it with us, even in your homes. Everybody say, I need you.
I need you.
Mm-hmm.
You need me.
We're all.
We're all.
that every need be supplied.
You are important to me.
You are important to me.
I need you,
I need you to survive.
You are important to me.
To me.
Listen right here. I pray for you.
You pray.
You pray for me.
I
love you.
I need
you to survive.
I won't
harm you with words from my mouth.
'Cause I need you.
I love you and
I need
you to survive. I pray.
To me, here's the truth.
I need you to survive.
Say it one more time. Here's the truth. You are
important to me.
Let the family say amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, we got sense enough to know you don't have to, you could have clicked off long time ago, but if you're still with us, let me thank God for you and thank God for you wanting to join and worship with us. For that, we are truly, truly grateful. We don't take for granted. There are thousands of churches, phenomenal ministries all over the world, and you have chosen to spend some time with us, and I'm grateful. Amen. There's a word from the Lord today. I want to look at the 40th verse of Mark chapter 1. In that 40th verse of Mark chapter 1, it said, "And a leper came to him begging and on his knees and said, 'If thou wilt, thou can make me clean.'" A leper came to him begging and on his knees and said to Jesus, "If thou wilt, thou can make me clean." One of my favorite Dorito commercials is the commercial of the little African-American boy. He's about 4 years old, and his mom goes to the door, and there's a tall, dark, and handsome fella who stepped to the door to court his mother. She is greeted by flowers, and she gives him a big smile and welcomes him into the house. And as she goes to put flowers in a vase in the water, the young man who's courting her takes a long look as she walks away. Not only does he look, but he tilts his head as if to say, "Ooh-wee." And the little boy who sees him looking at his mama drops his controller. And as the man sits down, he says something to the little boy while reaching for his Doritos. And that little boy, who is now about face to face with that man, reaches back and with all he has and smacks the you-know-what out of that man. And he puts his nose to his nose and said, "Don't touch my mama and don't touch my Doritos." He said that because he knew what he really wanted. He knew what the man really wanted. He wanted more than some Doritos, and he wanted to put his hands on his mama. I want to talk about I know what they really want. From the words from the mind of Jesus, I want to talk about I know what they really want. Stay with me, I'm on my way somewhere. The context of Mark chapter 1, Jesus has called his disciples, the Shaira. He's got a few of them now, and he decides to go home with one of his disciples. He goes home with Simon Peter. When he gets there, they discover that Simon Peter's mother-in-law, she has a high fever. She didn't test it positive. She has a very high fever. Jesus heals her, and he heals her so well that not only did her fever leave, but the text says she gets up that moment. She has strength, and she starts serving them. She makes a marvelous meal for them. I don't know who told. I don't know if they put it on Facebook. I don't know if somebody started texting. But by the time the dinner was ready, and as they were there, because this was not microwave food, people, the text said, started bringing the sick people to Simon Peter's house, and Jesus healed them. Now, let me explain that verb when the text says they brought the people. Here's how it really reads, Ed. They brought people to Jesus and kept on bringing people to Jesus. And Jesus worked late into the night healing the people that they brought. Early the next morning, Jesus kept his devotional time with God and went off by himself to a solitary place. That's where Minister Hamler picked up on the text. And when they woke up the next morning, Peter is looking around. Him and his friends are looking around. They knocked on Jesus' door, if you will, and Jesus wasn't there. They started looking for Jesus. The lines had already started forming because the people who didn't hear about it last night have now heard about it, and they're ready to get their blessing from Jesus. Jesus has gone away to a solitary place. We don't know where it was, but it was not nearby. And when Peter finally found him, listen to the words that Peter says to Jesus. I know he had an expression, James Sutton, as if to say, "What's up, dog? You know everybody is looking for you." And Jesus said to him, "Let's go someplace else. Let's go to some other villages where I can preach there also." Verse 38, "Because this is why I came." Peter said, "We've been looking for you. There's a line forming. People are waiting on their blessing." And Jesus said, "Let's go somewhere else. Let's go to some other places so I can preach there also, because this is why I came." When we get to verse number 40, verse number 40 is packed all by itself. Verse number 40 is an amazing text within itself, but it's important to look at verse number 40 in context of him calling his disciples and what he previously had done. Jesus, when you get to verse number 40, it's an awesome, awesome power-packed text. It says there was a leper. This leper came to Jesus, begging him on his knees, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, you can make me clean." So let me say a little word real quick, and then I'm going to get to where I'm really trying to scratch today. Can't get there without saying something about this leper. The first thing I want to tell you, this leper made a bold decision. Junior, it's a bold decision. It's a bold decision. His decision to come to Jesus, that's a bold decision. He didn't know Jesus. He didn't have a relationship. I'm so thankful to God that he included this in the text, because it helps all of us know that you may not have a relationship with Jesus, but you can still come to him. He made a bold decision. He didn't have no relationship, but he made a decision, "I'm going to Jesus." He not only did he not have a relationship, but he had tested positive for one of the most dangerous diseases in that time, leprosy. He had tested positive. That leprosy, many say it's just like sin. It starts small, and if you don't do something about it, don't put it in check, it'll take over. He had been tested positive. The priest had revealed to him he had leprosy. And when you read the text closely, Jerry, it says he's full of leprosy. Leprosy attacks the nerves. And it affects people different ways. It attacks the nerves and your joints. And it can distort your joints. It can distort your face. It can distort your limbs. It can cause open oozing sores and even cause your limbs and digits to fall off. He's full of leprosy. But yet, as dirty as he is, as nasty as he looks, he still comes to. Who am I talking to that said, "If I just wasn't so nasty, if I could just clean myself up, I would then come to Jesus"? I'm trying to help you. The songwriter, I don't know who said it, but we've been saying it as long as I am Baptist. I came to Jesus just as I was. Weary, wounded, sad, nasty. But I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. It's a bold decision. He didn't know Jesus within a relationship. He had tested positive, and he's supposed to be quarantined. The law said that if you got leprosy, there's a place for you to live. He's supposed to be living on Leper Lane in Leperville. Because when nobody had a cure for it, they put them out. You can't stay around here. they put them out. If you were in sin, they put you out. They said, everybody thought that leprosy was a consequence of sin. And so they found a place for them across the tracks. They found a place for them on the other side of the wall. They found a place for them because nobody wanted people with the cooties to live nearby. But here's the truth. The truth is all of us got some kind of cooties, because there's some cooties you can see, and then there's some cooties you can't see. And haven't we learned that the cooties you can't see is more dangerous than the things you can? It's a bold decision. He's supposed to be in quarantine, but yet he makes a decision to come to Jesus. It's a bold decision, but watch this. He comes broken and destitute. He's broken, he's destitute. It's almost as if he's saying, what do I have to lose? If I don't come, I'm gonna die. If he decides to strike me dead, I'm gonna die. But I have nothing to lose. He comes to Jesus. The text says that he's begging. The text says that he's on his knees. He's destitute. I threw that word in because he's at the end of his rope. He's at the end of his rope. Let me do it like this. Let me do it like this, Tracy. He's at the end of his hope. He's at the end of his hope. You know, when you get real desperate, Satan has a way of make you do some stinking thinking, make you think that life isn't worth the living. How many folk we've known who've given up, who were at the end of their hope and thought dying was better than living. I want to tell somebody, no matter how depressed you get, you need to know that a suicide, it's a permanent decision for a temporary condition. Let me tell you what Job did. He was at the end of the rope, but he wasn't at the end of his hope. He said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord has a right to take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait till my change come. And it may be after a while, but I want to tell you, hold on. I like this guy. He made a bold decision. He was destitute, but he still decided to come to the Lord. And let me help you. Sometimes it's not, sometimes coming to Jesus, that's what he decided to do. But here's what else is important, how he came. He came humble. You need to know that God don't have to do nothing for you. And anybody who thinks that because they got a little faith, they can make God do what they want. No. God is God, and he doesn't have to do anything. How many of you have had children and you were able to bless them, you wanted to bless them, but they approached you the wrong way? You wanted to bless them, but they came arrogantly. They came not dealing with the sin, the mistake that they already had done, not dealing with the confession that they were the one that scratched the car. They were the one that took the money. They were the one. You know, it's better when you come humble. When we see this man, he comes, he's begging, he's pleading. In the sense, what he's really doing is saying, Lord, I stretch my, what hand I got left, I stretch my hand to you. No other help I know. And the text says, when Jesus saw him, Jesus was indignant. Now be careful. When we hear the word indignant, we think that he's upset, that he turns his nose up. No. The real definition in this context is that it moved Jesus. It touched Jesus' heart. It's kind of one of these, Ed, you'll get it when I say it this. When Jesus saw him broken, destitute, bold enough to break quarantine, full of leprosy, and then come and throw himself at Jesus' feet, made Jesus, in essence, say, bless your heart. Jesus is the king of bless your heart. When you done all you can do, he'll say, bless your heart. When you've been down stupid street and you come to yourself and come back to him, won't he say, bless your heart? When you can't help yourself, but you decide to come to him, it's wonderful to know that Jesus can say, bless your heart. He makes a bold decision. This man, he's broken and he's destitute. But here's what I love about this text. It also shows that this fella is decisive in his belief. He's come to a conclusion, some things he believes about Jesus. And I'm gonna do it backwards. The order of the text says, he said, if you are willing, thou canst, here it is. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. That's the order. If you are willing, you can make me clean. I'm gonna flip it, because before he could say, if you're willing, he had to believe you are able. See, here's what some of us gotta do. Some of you have not come to the conclusion that he's able. Hey, if you figure out that he's able, then the only issue we got to deal with is he willing? Come on, let me go around the room. Ain't he? I keep saying, I'm going to quit saying ain't, but it's just in my DNA. Greg, ain't he able? Can't he move you from Texarkana and bring you back home to be a blessing to the community? Ain't he able, when you make a mistake, to give you another chance? You can holler if you want to. Ain't he able to heal your heart? Ain't he able to open doors to help you go to school? And ain't he able to let you finish school? Junior, when you're sick and it look like you can't get well, ain't he able to be a doctor? He's able. And Carla, once you know he's able, the only question we got to deal with here, this is not a long conversation. Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me whole. The only question is, Jesus, do you want to? Because I've already figured out he's able. The disciples, they had to spend 3.5 years with him, and even after he died, they weren't really sure that he was able, even though they saw him bring life from death. They saw him heal time after time. They saw him speak to a sea and make it calm. They saw him walk on water, and they're still struggling with, is he able? But I want to tell you, he's able. He's able. The only question is, is he willing? Which leads to this final thing. I told you, this man had decisive belief. He was broken. He was broken, he was destitute, but he was bold, made a bold decision. The last thing I gotta deal with is that this man had blatant disobedience. After all of that, he blatantly disobeyed Jesus. In the text, there are two requests. One from the leper. The leper said, in essence, will you heal me? There's a second request. The leper had a request, and then the Lord had a request. The Lord answered the leper, yes. He touched him, and the text says immediately he was cleansed. And then after Jesus cleansed him, says, now I got a request. There's something, you wanted me to do something. Now I need you to do something. Watch the text. Jesus says to the man, in verse 43, he sent him away with a strong warning. strong warning. He says to him, he says, now, hold on. I know you're excited. But he looks at him and looks him straight in the eye. The man, I know what he's doing. He's looking at his hands. He's popping his fingers. He's trying to clap his hands. I know what he's doing. He's looking at his feet. He's standing up straight. I know what he's doing. And Jesus said, hold on. Look me in the eye. And Jesus says, now there's something I need you to do. Listen to this, Clara. Clara May, he said, don't you tell nobody. Clara Jackson, he says, don't tell nobody. But here's what I want you to do. Show yourself. You go straight to the priest and show yourself to the priest. What did I say? You said, don't tell nobody. And you said, go show yourself to the priest. He said, okay. And when you get to the priest, you're going to need to make a sacrifice. And then it'll be time. It'll be a testimony. And then it'll be time to celebrate. What did I say? You said, don't tell. Clara, what did I say? You said, don't tell nobody about this pizza. I'm sorry, I had a flashback. You said, don't tell nobody, show myself to the priest, make a sacrifice, it'll be a testimony, and then we can celebrate. And he left Jesus, and the Bible says that as soon as he left Jesus, listen to this, Daphne June, instead, he went out and began to talk freely. When we get to the other side, we'll ask him, how did he forget what Jesus said? He ain't made it one block. Daphne, we gonna ask him. Daphne June, me and you, we gonna stand in line and we gonna ask him, how is it you couldn't keep your mouth? Clara, we gonna ask him, how is it you couldn't keep your mouth closed on what I, could it be that as he was running, somebody said, Mookie, is that you? And I know he said, yeah. What happened to your stick? Well, Jesus, and he healed me. I don't know how it happened. Here's what I do know. The text says he told everybody. Here's the problem. As a result of him telling everybody, there are some consequences. See, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, you need to go to the priest. Leviticus 14 has some instructions. You need to go to the priest. It was the priest, when you went through quarantine, that declared that you were nasty. You need to go back to the same priest so that they can declare you clean. You went through one quarantine where they put you out. There's another protocol where you go to the priest and they'll take you through another quarantine to bring you back in. The priests need to see that God is in the blessing business. He didn't go to the priest, which means the consequences is he didn't make the sacrifice. There was a couple of sacrifices that needed to be made. The first sacrifice he was supposed to take, after the priest saw it, he was supposed to take two doves. They would take one dove and take a bowl of water, and they would sacrifice the dove, and the blood of one dove would go in the water. They take the living dove and they would dip it in the bowl of blood mixed with water. And after they dipped it in the bowl, they would set the dove free. He needed to go to the priest to make a sacrifice so that he could see the picture of salvation. One dove died. The dove that died shed his blood to cover the sins of the other dove, and the other dove went free because one dove shed his blood. You're going to catch this in a minute. And then the next week, he's going to come back because he's still in quarantine. And the next week, he would bring two lambs. One lamb would die, and they would take the blood of the lamb. And then Leviticus 14 says that the priest would dip his finger in the blood of the sacrificed lamb. And he put some blood on his right earlobe, some blood on his right thumb, and some blood on his right big toe. One lamb died so the other lamb could live. And then the blood was put on his ear. Put it on his ear because that's symbolic of hearing the word. The blood was put on his thumb because now he has a chance to do, he hears the word of God. Now he does the work of God. And then you put some blood on the big toe because now you got to walk for God. When you make the sacrifice, when God has brought you from death to life, now it's time for you to do something. And they take the blood and put it on the ear so that you'll understand how important the word of God is. Put it on the thumb so that you'll understand the significance of the work of God, and put it on your big toe so you understand how to walk for God. But wait a minute. After the blood was put on the ear, then the priest would put the oil on top of the blood. Same order, oil on top of the blood on the ear. Because the oil represents the Holy Ghost. You remember that, don't you? It's the Holy Ghost that gives you the power not just to hear the word, but to be a doer of the word as well. Oil on top of the blood that's on top of your thumb, the right thumb, which allows you to do the work anointed. It's a symbolic of doing the work anointed by the Spirit of God. And then, of course, on the big toe, as you walk for God to sanctify your walk, all of that is symbolic of salvation. And as a result of him not going to the priest, the priest didn't get a chance to celebrate. As a result of not going to the priest, he missed the whole picture of salvation. As a result of not going to the priest, it continues to perpetuate people with misplaced pursuits. They've got misplaced pursuits because the text says that when he went around and started telling everybody, the text says that Jesus could no more come into the towns openly. Jesus had to stay out in the rural places, the obscure places. Wait a minute, why couldn't Jesus come to town? I told you I was going to, because Jesus knew what they really wanted. You see, all the people really wanted, they wanted a miracle from God, but they didn't want the word of God. And Jesus didn't come to do miracles. Come here. Jesus's priority is not to do miracles. Jesus's priority is to preach the word. Didn't I tell you in verse number 38, he said, let's go someplace else. The line was stretched out the door, through the yard, around the block, because all the people wanted was a miracle. But Jesus didn't come to do miracles as a priority. That was not his priority. I heard you, smart person. I heard you. Then why did he do it? The miracles only solidified that he was from God. The problem we have with a whole lot of folk, if Jesus ain't doing miracles, you don't want no part of him. See, people want Jesus to make a way. We sing about it. He did. When my back was against the wall and it looked like things were over, you made a way. That's true. But here's the other part of that, the other wing on that plane. See, there's going to come a time where you may not get a miracle. Then what you're going to do? Jesus knew that what people need is the word. Because down the road, there's going to come a time, ain't no miracle coming up your driveway. You're going to have to learn how to stand on the word. I'm dealing with this right now. The priority is in the word. God's not going to turn my 82-year-old mother into 50 again. God's not going to turn my 80-year-old father into 60 again. God's not going to turn me back to when I was 25. I'm getting older, and they're getting older, but I can stand on the word. God may not raise your loved one from the sick bed, but you can stand on the word. Have I got a witness here? You may have to stand at the graveside and say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, looking forward to the general resurrection. But the good news is you can stand on the word. A miracle may not come, but you can stand on the word of God. You can trust God to walk with you. You can trust God to talk to you. You can trust God to hold you. You can trust God to keep you. You can trust God to comfort you. I'm standing on the word of God. Have I got a witness here? If the miracle don't come, it's all right. I've got the word of God. Jesus says, I know what they're really after. That's why we go in someplace else. And because the man turned the city upside down, all the people wanted was a miracle, but they weren't interested in the word. Jesus said, we go in someplace else so I can preach there also, because this is why I've come. I've come to proclaim the good news, that God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And one day when I'm absent from this body, because of my faith in Jesus, the promise is I'll be in the very presence of the Lord. So your miracle, it may not come when you want or how you want. Don't be angry at God when he doesn't do what you knew he could or hoped he would. He's God, and he's sovereign. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. But the truth is, you can stand on the word of God. And the word says, I place them in my hand, and nobody can pluck them out. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today I want to let you know that the priority of Jesus was not to come to give you miracles. The priority of Jesus were to come to give you eternal life. If you place your faith in the fact that Jesus died for your sins and God raised him from the dead, God will adopt you into the family of God, justify you, And he will fill you with his spirit so that you can hear his word, do his work, walk in his will. And then one day, he'll call you by name and will declare, servant of God, well done. You can pray this prayer with me. Gracious God, my Father, I admit to you that I've sinned and come short. I trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, save me and make me your child, because I believe that he did just what you said. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, listen, we thank God for you. We thank God for you. We thank God for you. If you prayed that prayer, or perhaps you don't have a church family to call your own, know for a fact we would love to have you as a part of the Nazarene family. We would love to have you as a part of the Nazarene family. Just let us know. You can go online, make the connection, and we'll respond. We'll respond to you. Amen. Hey, family, at this time, it's time for the offering. I want to encourage you. If you haven't given, you can raise your phone, either whether through Givelify or PayPal. We want to encourage you to continue to be faithful in your giving. You have been, and we're excited about what the Lord's doing. Many of you have been by the church, and you've seen some of the things that have been going on. We're not done. We're not done. We've got some other things in store as well. We've got some offices that are on the verge of being remodeled, and got some new flooring and painting, and so we are getting ready for the day when God's going to bring us back, together. Amen. I'm excited. And so we thank God for you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for coming by, and those of you who are bringing your offering, we thank God for that. God bless the offering. Bless the offering and each person who so diligently have been faithful and have given. Give us wisdom to manage what you've entrusted. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we close today, we're going to remember. We're going to have our communion celebration. Get you some juice. Get you some juice. Get you a cracker if you've got it. If not, get some bread, and we'll remember what the Lord did on our behalf. Amen. Jesus said, I want you to do this to remember me. I want you to remember me. Remember the sacrifice that I made that you might be a part of the family of God. And so, gracious God, I pray your blessings upon your people wherever they are. We come humbly in your presence. We are nothing without you. But because of your son and the sacrifice he made, we get the freedom of being your children, and we get the privilege of calling you Father. We do this taking the bread that symbolizes his body and the blood and the juice that represents his blood. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to close in prayer today. I do want to lift several prayer requests. I want you to please remember Brother Haskins. Please remember Brother Haskins. Also, Brother John Bush. We want to remember Connie Johnson. Connie's going to be having a procedure this week. And then we want to remember Sister Chandra Popes. We want to remember her mother, Sister Sarah Jones. Let's remember her as well. Again, please remember Brother Phil Raspberry. We thank God for him, and he's getting stronger every day. And y'all pray for our president. Pray that God would heal him as well. God has the mass. Oh, yes. Let me share with you that one of our beloved brothers, Brother Ronnie Massey, he passed the other day. And we want to remember him in prayer. And then also remember Sister Ruth. Remember Sister Ruth in prayer as well. Amen. Let's end this service as we go to the Lord in prayer. God, we want to say thank you again for for the privilege of just being able to worship you. We love you, for you are our God. And we thank you. We thank you that we can call on your name. And Father, I pray your blessings upon Sarah Jones, and pray that you would be with her. And thank you for her children who come alongside to trying to support and serve. Thank you for our sister Connie Johnson, and we pray that you would give the doctors and nurses, give them excellence and skill, and you bless her, dear God, with a good recovery. Thank you for Phil and Brother Charles. Bless them both, strengthen them. Bless Sister Haskins as she stands by the side of her husband, and bless all their children. You be with them. He's a great man, and he's been a blessing to us all. God, I pray that you would bless Sister Joyce, and she stands by John. You be with them, and I pray that you would give him a good day. Give him a good day. For all those who took time to listen, and for those who will be worshiping later, God, I lift up Hogan. I pray that you would be with him. I pray that you would give him clarity of thought and mind, and may he be drawn closer, even closer to you. And thank you for loving friends that hear the call of the Lord to be an advocate. Now, Father, the things that we fail in asking, sure ask that you don't fail in granting. How we thank you, we pray your hand, your healing hand upon our president. We pray that you would bless his family. We don't want to see no hurt, harm, or danger come to anybody. But God, you do have a way. You have your own way of teaching and helping us to understand that you are God. And so for that, we say thank you. Be with our nation in the midst of all that we're facing. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to have the heart of a servant. And even as we leave this place, may your grace go before us, forgive us of our sin, and use us to thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you, family. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.